Again, want to thank you for being here. We do have visitors. We are thankful. We would actually had another visitor, but he had to leave. Andrew was in town, Andrew Barnes, and he ended up having to go back to work, but he was planning on being here this morning, so we're sorry that he wasn't able to be with us. Some people have asked me about my suit, so I'm tell you, my children felt sorry for me, our children, and so they bought me some gift cards. So, and I actually bought them before I went on the... I was telling people before I went to San Antonio because I didn't really have suits that I could just put in a suitcase and hope that they kind of stayed, kept somewhat the shape. So I'm like Roger, just, you know, junior. For some reason, going and shopping and things aren't my what I like and desire doing. But anyway, again, thank you for being here. We were talking this first assembly about why I preach, and I made a mistake in the first assembly that I want to correct right now. From Acts 16, because I got to thinking about this, and I'm pretty certain that I was incorrect in saying that the jailer had actually beaten them. He did put them in the stocks, but I do believe that it was the mob that beat them and turned them over to the jailer. So I want to correct that because I think it's very important that we say exactly what the Bible says and don't vary from that. So, again, why preach? Well, I talked about this in the first lesson. I'll remind us that he didn't need us. He used a donkey. He used a still small voice. Certainly has used creation. But he has chosen this method to get his message out and certainly has wanted people from the very beginning to talk about him and talk about what they needed to do. So again, we're planning a meeting. Why? Well, we want to get God's message out. So why preach? Well, in 1 Corinthians 1:21, for since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God. This is why he chose it. It pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. Is he saying that this is just total foolishness? Absolutely not. But in the eyes of humans, it is. Why would you talk to someone about what they need to do to save their souls? We teach and preach, all of us, because of examples we have. I would argue that Enoch, to be the person he was and to walk with God, for he was not, for God took him, we find in Hebrews 11:5 that he was a man of faith. And we certainly see later on, and I won't get this right, I think it's his great-grandson Noah followed that same pattern, didn't he? And he certainly understood this. We find that Enoch was a person who had been one that would have talked about God. And you're probably wondering, well, what makes you think that, Abe? Well, I didn't put the scripture up here, so if I left that to you, what would you think? Well, the Bible doesn't say that. It certainly does. You ever look at Jude, what he says? Jude says, now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men also, saying, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints. Enoch was out there teaching. That's why God was pleased with him. A person that won't do this, that claims to be following God, no, Abe's not going to be pleasing to him. Noah. People discuss this all the time. Well, Noah, when did he preach? And when did he talk? And was it during... I would, again, make an argument that he was a preacher of righteousness from the time that he started following God. It wasn't just because the flood was coming he talked about that. A preacher of righteousness talks about things that are right. God is the one that determines what is right, so that's what he taught about. And for people to argue about when, what, where, he just did it. That's part of his life. Moses in Exodus 18 verse 20, when God gave him that law, he said, you teach it to the people. You teach it to the people. He had a responsibility, and so did Aaron, then so did the elders, and then so did many others as they learned this law. In Ecclesiastes 1, verses 1 and 2, Solomon says he was a preacher. He says that the preacher was talking to them, and he even wants you to be sure, and me to be sure, of who he was. He says that he was a son of David, king in Jerusalem. He says it in 7:27. He talks about it in 12 and 8 through 10, that how he would preach things that were things that God would want, acceptable words. What was written was upright. Words of truth. The words of the wise are like goads, and the words of the scholars are like well-driven nails given by one shepherd. Doesn't take credit for him himself. He says that he was preaching what God wanted him to. How about Jonah? I'm going to use a person that went and talked to a group of people who were not Jews. Did he proclaim God's word? Absolutely. What does God tell Jonah to do? He says, Jonah, I want you to go and just say anything you want to. No, he didn't. He said, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come upon me. And we'll go into this a little bit further, and he'll tell him exactly what he wants to tell him. How about just the rest of the prophets, the people from the Old Testament, in Hebrews 1, 1 and 2. God, who at various times and in various ways spoken to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us through or by His Son. But was it limited just to prophets? Were they the only ones that were supposed to be preaching? Were they the only ones supposed to be teaching? No. No. In Deuteronomy 4, after Moses would teach them the law, this responsibility then was given to each household to make sure that this word was taught, to make sure that they observed it, to make sure that it was passed on, and to make sure that these things were taught the way they should be taught. And if you're looking at that, I want to go to another passage in Deuteronomy 6, where he says, you can use this one, but he tells them clearly, you shall teach them diligently to your children, shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. Why teach? Because we have all these examples of where they were told to, where they had a responsibility to, and we do it. But I would argue we teach and preach because of necessity. How many of these people in this room that are Christians became a Christian and no one ever talked to them? Oops, can't raise my hand either. You ever thought about that? You didn't just naturally one day say, I want to become a Christian. I want to understand God's will and I'm going to be obedient to it. It was passed on to you. Someone talked to you. I will guarantee it. Someone. Oh no, I did it on my own. Peter, Acts 10, when he went to talk to Cornelius and his household, he's talking to Cornelius and the recognition of something that he had said all the way 10 previous years ago, possibly in Acts 2, that this was going to go to every people. He hadn't taken it to every people at this point because God hadn't told him to do it. Now he's doing it. And now he's having an understanding, and I think he had struggled with this. He took people with him, and other people struggled with it with Jews. They just didn't think this was the case, but in verse 42, he commanded us to preach to the people. Who did? Jesus did. He told those disciples specifically what to do, what to teach, when to teach it, how to teach it. And he said, and your memory is not going to be a problem because I'm going to give you the comfort of the Holy Spirit. You won't teach things that are false. You will teach exactly what you're commanded to teach. But it had to be done. Paul in 1 Corinthians 9, such a beautiful passage of Scripture in his discussion about those that publicly proclaim God's Word, not just privately, but he proclaimed it both publicly and privately, and that's what all of us are to be doing to some degree. In 1 Corinthians 9, 14 through 23, even so, the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should live from the gospel. But I've used none of these things, nor have I written these things, that it should be done so to me. For it would be better for me to die than that anyone should make my boasting void. For if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of, for necessity is laid upon me, yea, woe is unto me, if I do not preach the gospel. But that was just Paul. That's not Abe. Yes, it is. He's not saying that because God had commanded him to go do it, but because God commanded everyone to go do it. God wanted everyone to teach His Word. And he goes on and talks about that through this whole passage of Scripture. And when he gets to verse 23, he says, and this I do for the gospel's sake, that I may be partaker of it with you. He recognizes if he doesn't do it, he will not be partaker of it with the very ones that he's taught. So he needs to do this. People need to be warned. That's why we do it. You know, I just don't think people consider sin to be anything of consequence anymore. They don't seem to know that they can lose their souls eternally. They don't seem to understand that Christ died for their sins and that they have a responsibility toward that. Colossians 1:28, Him we preach. Doing what? Warning some people. No. Every man, and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. What was his goal? It was Paul's goal that every human being would have this. That was his goal. Did Paul ever accomplish that? No. But if that's not a goal, there's nothing to accomplish. Why, I just want to teach one person in my lifetime. Well, that's a good goal. Is that all you need to do, though? No, I would argue it's not all I need to do. People need to understand the terror of the Lord. Talking with Roger yesterday, Roger Jr., and one of the things that he talked about that we've talked about so many times and just strikes me. We look at all of this, and throughout all the Scriptures, just like some I read earlier today, we see the terror of the Lord. When we look out at all the things He's created, and this is what Roger was talking about, is as his life goes on, he's more in awe of God every day. When he really realizes and understands some of these things, the more he understands them, the more he's in awe. To look out and can't see the end of the universe, and to not know, does it go out to eternity? What is eternity? What are we talking about? Where does space end? Does space end? We don't even know. And to think that God did all of this, and I'll use it again for the... I told you, I repeat myself a lot, so let me repeat this one more time. If a person can just tell me where space came from, then I might start believing them. They don't even know where space came from. They've assumed that space is always here, but it wasn't. Space was created. The great thing that we look out at, God put there. How? Have no idea. To assume all this stuff is ludicrous. There is a God. And so he says, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. When I'm looking at someone and I love them very much, do I think about this? Do I think they're going to appear there too? Because, see, I think a lot about me. I'm going to appear there. Do I realize they are too? That each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he's done, whether good or bad. Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we're well known to God and also trust are well known in our consciences. Do we know the terror of the Lord? Yeah. Yeah. We can look back and see all the things that he says, I did. And when we look at what he is capable of doing, how he can destroy all but 8 people in a very brief moment of time, just one of those places, that's the terror of the Lord. When we start doing what we want to do, why do I teach people? It's necessity. I don't want people to be lost. Do I do it enough? Do I do it correctly? No, I had this conversation with 2 people this week, last week. Time just flies. We're starting a new week. So, the conversation was, well, I don't do it enough. And I said, yeah. And you'll leave this life never doing it. That's why we pray to God for forgiveness, because we don't always take advantage of opportunities we should be making and opportunities that God drops in our lap. We just don't do it. But we should. Do you really want anyone to face that? I don't. They need to know about His love, too. In the same place, in 14 and 15... For the love of Christ constrains us, because we judged us that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. It constrains me, he said, to tell people about this. You need to know about Christ. It's not Abe Martin. It's not a church. It's a being, the Son of God, who died for your sins. Place it all in that. And people need to know the power that's in this. How much power is in the gospel? Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God and the salvation. Is it powerful whether someone uses it or not? Yes, it is. When is it power shown? When someone accepts it and obeys it. When they understand about Christ and when they become obedient. And then I would argue last, because of the message. How important is a message? Let's go back to Jonah. Here's Jonah. He's getting ready after having decided he's going to flee. He's decided he's not going to teach. He's decided he's not going to do this. So let me just take a short period of time here and tell you a little bit of a story that I don't like doing too much of this, but there was a man I knew. They came and they asked him, they said, would you preach for us at Silver Point on Sunday? And this person said, no, I can't do that. I just get too nervous getting up in front of people. I just cannot do that. No. And then as he sat there and he thought about it, the first thought that came to his mind was Jonah. And knowing my dad, he didn't want to be swallowed by this great fish. So he chose to go teach and go preach. And I remember him agonizing over this and sitting down and writing out a lesson that he could teach that Sunday. And that was the first time he ever preached. I was probably about, I don't know, 2 or 3 years old. I can still remember this because it stuck out so much in my mind because he told me that's exactly what he'd been thinking about. Jonah didn't want to do it. So God tells us to do it, and we say, no, I'm not going to do it. But what's the message always? Well, I'll tell you what he preached. He said, this place is going to be destroyed in 40 days. Repent. That was his whole message. Just turn. Change. How do I know that? Well, that's what they did. The people believed God. They proclaimed a fast, put on sackcloth, from the greatest to the least of them. Would Jonah have ever dreamed that they would have that response when, after all, he'd been a prophet in Israel and he hadn't seen that kind of response? This was not some small little city. This was not just some little nation out there. This was the greatest nation on the earth at that time. Very evil up to this point. And yet they turned. Now we know Jonah in the story how he wasn't very happy about that, but that's what he told them. Now Isaiah 61. Such a beautiful, beautiful passage of Scripture. Wonder why we preach, all of us, why we go out and talk to people? 61, 1 through 3. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God. Comfort those who mourn. Console those who mourn in Zion. To give them beauty for ashes. The oil of joy for mourning. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. That they may be called trees of righteousness. The planting of the Lord. That He may be glorified. Isn't that just an absolutely beautiful passage of Scripture? Why preach? What was this about? Was Isaiah saying, I'm going out and I'm teaching? Well, I'm certain he was, but it had a much deeper meaning. If you turn to Luke 4, Christ goes into the synagogue. As was his custom in verse 16. He was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he'd opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recover of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Then he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him, and he began to say to them, today this Scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Doesn't that put cold chills on you? When you think about it, what he did, what Jesus did, the gospel, the good tidings, heal the brokenhearted. He didn't come for some random reason. Why wouldn't we want to tell people about this, to proclaim liberty to the captives of sin? Let them know they can free themselves of sin forever. To open the prisons that they're in. Not physical prisons, spiritual prisons. to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Tell about the day of vengeance. Comfort those who mourn. Console those who mourn. Give them beauty for ashes, oil of joy for mourning, garments of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness. What a beautiful thought. You know what trees do? They grow up in Psalm 1. They take the nourishment they need, and they too produce offspring so that future trees can grow. The purpose of this? Fruit. We need to let others know the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified. Christ in Matthew 4:17, what was His message? Wow, we're going to be surprised. Repent. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Start turning, folks. Get away from the direction you're going. You're going the wrong way. I've said it before, so you're driving down the road. And someone says to you, you're going the wrong way. I did this the other day. I went down a wrong way on a one-way street. Now, no one else was embarrassed. Now I can be because I'm telling you. No, I was completely embarrassed. I realized I'm going the wrong way. You know what made me realize it? So this car comes up on me, and they look at me like, are you a total idiot? So here's someone who's going, don't you see what you need to do, Abe? Repent. Turn away from where you're going. Turn to God. Very simple message. We're not asking people to, you know, climb Mount Everest. God never asked us to do some great thing. If He told you to do some great thing, would you do that? We're just saying, please, turn your life around. Get it right with God. So what do you say to the apostles? Well, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Go teach every nation. He said, I'm giving you a great responsibility here. Did they accomplish that? We find Colossians 1, they accomplished what God had set them out to do, according to verse 5 and verse 23. Did they do this all on their own? Absolutely not. They taught others and others taught others. We know this. And we know there were other prophets and people who had received the gift of the Holy Spirit and had this ability to teach. We know that. So what's the message all about? Oh, it's not some great message of you can win $1 million, or according to Mike Heimrich, if I'd have texted a certain thing over the weekend, I could have got a, if I'd just said that horses have four legs or something, he said, I could have got a free meal one of the fish places. No. And I say that out of humor because we'll do that. But what have we got to talk about? Can we talk about Him enough? Is there any... Could we over-compliment our Lord and Savior? Can we say too much about Him? Can we glorify Him enough? Can we have Him in our lives too much? Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel, which I preached to you, which you also received, and wherein you stand, by which you are also saved. Now listen to this. If you keep or hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. If you don't hold on to it, if you don't keep it, if you don't make it your life, He said, you'll lose it. You're going to let all these things of the world get the hold of you. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, how they was buried, and how He rose again according to the Scripture. And He talks about all these witnesses that can verify this. Witnesses that saw Him. Witnesses that could say, yes, we saw Him. He was risen from the dead. Is that what they preached? We said, Christ had said, turn. He told His apostles. Is that what Peter said? Peter taught them about Christ. What did Peter say to them? You don't have to make any changes. Just believe on the Lord with all your... He did no such thing. He said, repent, turn, and be baptized, every one of you. I don't say these things. Why do I tell other people this? I don't want to be lost. The message is so beautiful. When we think about what He did for us in 2 Corinthians 4, when we think of the one, as we talked about, who basically became homeless for the 3.5 years so that we could have a home, the Son of God. He talks about this ministry, and I believe Paul was talking about those that were certainly given it to them miraculously, like the apostles. But he said it was within them. But what do they preach? Same thing we should, because we have the written word. We do not preach ourselves in verse 5, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For it is God who commanded light to shine out of darkness. It wasn't me was God, who has shone on our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be in God, not in us. But He has given it to them in those earthen vessels, and they pass that on so we can have it in our earthen vessel, if you will. And we can pass it on. And that's how the message is preached. So why preach? So the gospel will reach those who are lost. If God had chosen another method, we could sit back and watch that method be carried out, but He didn't. He determined that Mike and Gina would talk to Robin and Chrissy. And they did. He determined that Edith would talk to Glendon, and she did. He determined that Kyle would talk to Jenna, and she did. Now, why did they do that? This beautiful message, the necessity, the very fact that all of us need to be proclaiming God's Word to other people. I'm not trying to make anybody here feel guilty about what you've done or not done, because if I do that, I'm in the same boat with you and we're going to sink. We just need to do it. Someone passed it on to us, pass it on to someone else. How valuable is this seed? I plant some seed in the garden. I don't know about the rest of you. I wait and I wait and I wait and then nothing. it don't come up. I plant some more and I'm thinking, what? Is it the seed? Is it me? Is it the soil? Is it what is it? I can guarantee with this one, His Word will not return to Him void. It's a valuable seed, but it has to enter good soil. It has to enter it, it has to take root, it has to bring forth fruit. So when we've done all we can do, that's all God requires. We should consider it much more, though, than just a duty, shouldn't we? Oh, I have to go tell someone about God's Word, and I'm just dreading this. I didn't really want to spend the time, and I just hate it when I get to study the Bible with someone, and what a waste of my... No, I don't think any of us look at it that way, do you? We get so anxious. Sometimes, you know, that's why I said I had to prepare certain things just to keep my mouth from going, because I needed the people to follow the Bible, so I started doing that. It's just such a beautiful message, and you just want people to hear it. But seed won't be sown unless we sow it. I don't care how good it is. I don't care. I can keep it in bags in my house and hope that the grass grows, can't you? Say, boy, I got the seed. And you know how you sow the grass seed. I mean, at least I do. Same old way, broadcast it. I'm still hoping for that, by the way. And I have planted it, but I'm still hoping for it. We can look back at so many that God sent to preach His Word. Some had very little effect on the people. Others, like Jonah, though, changed a whole city of people. You ever thought about that? A whole city of people just proclaiming God's Word. Do you know that most turned from Christ at one point? He had fed them. He had had them there. Then He taught them this lesson about the bread from heaven, and all of a sudden they went, nope. We like that physical food you've given us, but that spiritual food? I don't think so. So He asked His apostles this question. And this has brought a tear to my eye. Will you also go away? Think about that for a moment. The greatest teacher on earth teaches the most beautiful lesson. 12 people stay back and say, no, we'll stay with you. And we concern ourselves over how effective we are. Why should we get discouraged then? We just need to keep on preaching. Don't give up. I'm going to tell you, if you're not a Christian, I plead with you, I beg with you, change your life right now. Let God have it. I still struggle in life, but it's the greatest thing I ever did in my life, bar none. And I would not give up that relationship with God for anyone. So I'm begging you today, making it easy. I tell people you can come at any time to become a Christian. You don't have to do it at an assembly. You don't have to do it at any other time, but do it. Become a Christian today. Become a follower of God. And as a Christian, any needs that you have, certainly, we're here to assist. And as always, if there's anything I've taught that's contrary to God's Word, please let me know. Would you please stand?